It's a good time to be in New York, a good time to be a New York fan. Joining me right now to talk about your New York Rangers, the boy Johnny Lazarus. He's a VSIN Live analyst covering the Rangers, former college hockey player. Second time I've had him on. He also does some stuff for Bleacher Report, Open Ice. Welcome in, Johnny.
What's going on, Keith? I got to be honest, I think I blacked out for the overtime goal, so not sure I can run it back with you, but ask me whatever you want. I'm in the best mood, and I think aside from a Tyrese Maxey four-point play, things have been pretty perfect in New York right now for sports.
Yeah, Rami's got to go clip the audio of us in here because I missed the second-to-last goal that Lafreniere scored, and I was pissed. I'm like, I was looking at notes and hosting the show, and I said to him, you can't look down. And then the overtime period just started, and I'm talking, but my eyes are up, and Rami's looking down, and I'm like, they scored, game, and he missed the goal live. So.
No way. Rami's an emotional, passionate guy, too. I know he's probably kicking himself right now that he missed it.
Yeah, I mean, it was sick live. Let's start with the fact that they haven't lost yet. Let's start with the fact that they're 7-0. Are they just going to go undefeated all the way to the Cup?
Listen, it's not like it's even been 7-0 and it's been stress-free, right? Like, you know, these last couple of games, they've been pretty stressful, and I think it just speaks to volumes of what this team is made of right now. And, you know, listen, you're in New York, you're in a big market, you hear the criticisms when you deserve them. You know, last year this team deserved all the hate that they got losing the way they did in that series, being up 2-0. And, you know, allowing the Devils to get back in that series and then end up winning it in 7 games. And that stings. And you keep a chip on your shoulder the entire way. And this year, you know, with everything Peter Laviolette has done for the organization, for the team, for the group, the individuals in that room, you know, having Filippito in there and just talking about everything he's been through and what he feels about the team and the organization. I mean, listen, this is my first full year covering an NHL team, but I have to imagine it's never felt like this before for people that have covered the Rangers for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely a special year. And, you know, going back to last year, you just mentioned the Devils. I'm a Devils fan, and I enjoyed that series a lot. But then when they advanced to face the Carolina Hurricanes, they got punked. It wasn't close. And looking at this matchup tonight, you know, coming off of game two when, you know, Trouba's launching himself, I felt like the Canes tonight, they came out trying to be physical, trying to be tough. They struck first. They scored the first goal. But again, it didn't matter. I feel like it's been evenly matched, but the Rangers just find a way to edge them out, and it was completely different. They're like, we're not going double OT tonight. The last game took forever. They got this one done quickly.
Yeah, well, I think the first period, you know, we just talked to Peter Laviolette about it, and, you know, Igor Shesterkin, you got to give him credit, right? I mean, he's been unbelievable. Rod Brind'Amour just called him a world-class goalie, and every time the Rangers have breakdowns, Shesterkin just comes up big, save after save after save, and it's saves that he probably shouldn't be making, but, you know, that's what you need from goalies in the playoffs. It's not to make every save, even though Shesterkin kind of is, but to make the big ones. And, you know, he kept that team in the game. The Rangers could have easily been down 3-0 after the first period. You know, they go in, you know, obviously not happy with the way they played, but feeling pretty good about the position they're in, only being down 1-0, knowing how good Carolina played. And that can boost your confidence. You know, Laviolette just said, all we got to do is win the second period, and we put ourselves in a pretty good position to win this hockey game. That's exactly what happened. So, you know, a couple of big-time plays, a shorthanded goal from Chris Kreider, and now the Rangers have more shorthanded goals than, you know, the Hurricanes have power play goals, which has been the difference in this series, right? It's Carolina's power play and their big-name players not being able to get it done in the big moments. And the Rangers players, on the other hand, are. Trocheck scores the overtime or double overtime goal in game two. Panarin does it tonight. Like, you know, usually in the playoffs, you see those unsung heroes and the guys that you don't necessarily count on to come up in a big moment, but it's been the Rangers' best players doing it, and that's all you can really ask for.
We're on the phone right now with VSiN NHL analyst Johnny Lazarus after the Rangers win game three to go up 3-0. They win it in overtime quickly. Artemi Panarin, I'm watching him with that kick, that Selly, the bread man. I took a call from him, John in Garden City, and we were talking about the amount of saves that Igor Shesterkin has had to make in this series. Going up 3-0, do you think there's any chance we see Jonathan Quick? Do you think like
those? Don't even start that conversation.
Why not? I was talking to Rami about it during the break. I'm like, I'm going to ask Johnny about it.
don't even start that. Put that to rest. Don't let that become a conversation. You don't change a thing. You've won seven games in a row. I don't care how good Jonathan Quick is. You do not put him in that net. This is Igor's net, no matter what.
I'm with you.
So don't let that be. Don't let that become a conversation.
I'm with you on another thing we were saying. It's not like, I think John in Garden City was saying it. It's not like all of their shots were making him work. It wasn't like he was doing the splits and there it was a lot of shots, but it wasn't like he was grinding out there. Another thing I thought, I was reading up on this game, and we're in here watching the game. The Hurricanes turned to a rookie goalie, and those last two shots, they could have been saved. Those, I think that's on him. The last two shots, I'm like, this guy is going to be thinking about this for the rest of his life, because I think that those were squarely on the goalie. What'd you think about his performance tonight and what the Hurricanes are going to do in the net?
I mean, listen, Kochetkov was put in a difficult situation. You're down 2-0 in the series. You're coming home, and it's basically a must-win game. I thought he did his job. He made the saves he needed to make, and listen, you can say that he could have stopped that Lafreniere goal. To me, and maybe I'm biased here, but Lafreniere gets that puck off his stick in a millisecond. It's such a good catch and release. Maybe the puck goes in the middle of the net, and I'll be battling my co-host, Kobe Cohen, on my morning cup of hockey show about it, because he always likes to say goaltenders need to come up with those saves, but I think you got to credit the shooter in that one. Lafreniere didn't hesitate. He got that puck off his stick in a matter of a second and put it in a pretty good spot. And then the overtime goal, I mean, just a great forecheck by those guys, and Panarin to get a stick on that between his legs. Kochetkov got a piece of it, but it's tough because he played a pretty strong game. I think that's a tough game to blame on your goaltender when you have five power plays. I think the real story in this series right now is Carolina's miserable power play. Like, you can't go 0-15, 0-5 in all three games when you have a power play that was a top three man advantage all year long. Like, you can't just disappear. So you can blame anything you want on the goalies if you're Carolina, but it's not going to help any situation if your power play doesn't come up with any goals.
How about the story of Filip Hedl and his return? I know everybody was waiting on that. There was a lot of talk from April 12th to now, and this is a game that he comes back. What do you think about his return and how he looked?
I'm going to be honest. I did not think we'd see Filip Hedl in this series, so that came as a huge surprise tonight, but I thought as the game went on, he was great. I mean, that between the legs really made in the third period, he goes to his backhand and almost goes in. I think, that would have been on every highlight reel on social media. So it might even still be, just with how great that move was. But, a guy that missed 6 months, 7 months, had a pretty bad head injury to come into a playoff game, in a pretty big one too. And the way Carolina played and the way Hedl kind of handled himself, he didn't really look lost out there, which, as someone who played the game and came back from injury, like, your first couple shifts and first couple games, even, 3-5 games, you don't feel like you really belong sometimes. And it didn't look like that for Hedl. So he was so happy. It looked like he was kind of fighting back tears of joy, honestly, in the locker room after the game. And, I'm sure it's great for the group to have him back out there too, because he's a really important piece to this puzzle.
Yeah, I was saying before, he had such a big year last year. And, I mean, he's done well in the playoffs. It's just part of the story. I believe in things being written in the stars. I always say the universe never unconnects, and him coming back is part of the story. Also, all the parallels to 94. Johnny, how old are you? In 94, how old were you? Were you alive?
In 94, I probably wasn't even a thought. I'm a 96 birth year. So in 94, yeah, my dad was still trying to convince my mom to have another kid, I think.
So you can't go back to that, but there are a lot of people listening and watching. I just had Peter Schwartz come in here, and he's an Islanders fan, and he's miserable right now. And he's talking about how miserable he was that summer. He's a Yankee fan, and the Yankees didn't get to finish their season, but then the Rangers won, and he's talking about, he's like, the Rangers took that damn cup everywhere. He's like, I had to see that all summer.
Oh, yeah, and now he'll see it 5 times more if it happens, just because of social media. We'll be posting that thing nonstop, but don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I won't have too much conversations of cups and parades, but I've been preaching on the fan. I'm like, the next team that does it in New York, like, the next parade is in 4K. Like, the next parade to happen in New York, the world is going to see this city upside down for a day, and it's not going to look like it looks in these small markets. It's not going to look like it looks in Vegas or Kansas City or Denver. Like, we're all thirsty for it. We're all hoping for it.
every Ranger fan in New York City that works a 9-to-5 corporate job might have a chance of getting fired with all the videos that would come out from that parade.
Let's speak to Peter Laviolette, man. I know you just were listening to him talk after the game. Just the difference that he's made with this team, the impact that he's made on this team. Obviously, they're off to a great start in the first series and a half.
Yeah, you know, he's a pretty game-to-game, period-to-period kind of guy. You know, does not look ahead, does not look behind. And, you know, it's clear just how well his message translates throughout the team. And, you know, something I talked about recently, you know, I feel like with a lot of old-school coaches, I've played for some and I've watched them obviously coach in the NHL, but Laviolette's really the first one I've ever kind of interacted with on a regular basis. And sometimes old-school coaches like Laviolette can come into a group and the players have to adapt to the coach. And if you don't fit their style, you sometimes just don't belong. But it seems like it's a mix of both, right, where he's adapted to a lot of the players. You know, a younger guy who just didn't necessarily have the most opportunity in years past was Alexi Lafreniere. Laviolette's got him on the second line all year, hasn't moved him, you know, hasn't, even in games where he wasn't producing, hasn't pushed him down the lineup. You know, it's been pretty consistent, and it seems like the personalities within the room have meshed well with that, you know, work ethic and detail and just overall preparedness. Is that a word? I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. Preparedness. Sure. And it's just the perfect mix of where this team is right now and the voice that they needed to believe that what they can do is something special.
Once again, we're on the phone with Johnny Lazarus, Visan NHL analyst covering your New York Rangers. The last thing I'll ask you, and I know we're not touching the money and we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but there was so much talk about, okay, they've gone up 2-0 before, but man, like looking at Sebastian Aho at the end of that game, looking at those Hurricane fans sitting on their hands, not really pumped up, fired up for overtime, and then it ends that quickly. I've already said it on the fan, but like these games have been close. And the Rangers have edged them out. What are the chances of four games being close again and going the other way? You got to be feeling good about their chances. And it's kind of crazy to think that the Rangers are already one game away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's nuts. And honestly, as much as I don't love Hurricanes fans, like you got to feel for them. You know, they've now witnessed their team lose seven straight playoff games. Last year, they got swept in the Eastern Conference Final in a series where, you know, that could have gone either way. You know, they lose two games in overtime at home, you know, one of them being five overtimes. Then they lose in the dying seconds of game four to have their season end on the road in Florida. And this year, it's kind of a similar thing, right? Now it's back-to-back overtime games again for them. And this series could just as easily be 2-1 Carolina, you know? So that's the brutal part of playoff hockey. You know, sometimes the team that necessarily on the overlook of the game that plays better doesn't always win. And did Carolina play better tonight? Definitely. Did they play better in game two? In spurts, not the entire game, but, you know, there were moments the Rangers I thought were really strong in game two. And you know, it's just sometimes the way it goes. But this Carolina Hurricanes team certainly deserves a better outcome, I guess, but they're playing against a monster of a Ranger team right now with top-end talented guys that are performing, and it's really tough to beat that.
All right, one more for you, because I'm just looking at my notes and some things that I had saved. Like 40 minutes ago, Molly Walker tweeted this from Vincent Trocheck. He said that Breadman spoke up in the locker room, and then he spoke up on the ice. Did you catch, like, what did he say, or what was the conversation like? Before you answer, like, I'm still trying to figure out what went on with the Knicks at halftime, what they talked about, because they came out on fire. And, like, when you have these moments, when you have these games, when you're in the playoffs and it's tense like this, you know, just a couple words or a little rally cry can motivate people. And then when the guy that's speaking up ends up being the guy to win it, that's even crazier.
So, full transparency, I didn't get a chance to talk to Trocheck in the post game. I was talking to Panarin and Hedl. I wasn't in the Trocheck scrum, so I can't really speak on what Panarin said in between periods or on the ice. But, you know, I know Panarin is obviously a guy who's, you know, loved in that room. And, you know, I don't think he speaks up often. So when he does, it means something a little bit extra. And, you know, he makes a big play to Alexi Lafreniere in the third period, setting up that goal that gave them a 2-1 lead. And then obviously he scores the game winner. So, you know, you want your guys that are vocal leaders to also, you know, lead by example and make the big plays. And if Perrin said something, then, you know, that's incredible that he was able to be the one to win it for them. I'll have to, you know, text Molly and have her send me that audio so I can hear what Trocheck said. But, you know, I think Panarin is one of those guys who needed to have a special playoffs this year, and he's doing it, and it's great for him, and it's great for the team, and hopefully great for the fans too, because they were pretty hard on him last year.
Well, we'll end on one of your tweets. You put out there that Artemi Panarin said how much fun he's having right now, and the quote was, "I would say the last 3 years I enjoy hockey more than before, especially today. I love everyone, but game four is more important." And I feel like I've listened to so many post games with the Rangers, even during the season when they have a win streak, when they come back, have big wins, overtime, they are focused on the next one. They are not content. They have one goal and one goal only.
I mean, you even felt it in morning skate today. You know, oftentimes when, you know, listen, this team's won six hockey games in a row in the playoffs. Like, when you're around a group like that, they're usually hooting and hollering in the morning, you know, with the woo, you know, getting fired up and feeling good. There was none of that this morning. It was all business. Like, you know, and I've been on so many teams myself where you kind of get a little too cocky and it bites you in the butt. This team is not doing that. And, you know, they might have been the number one team in the NHL. You know, they finished with the President's Trophy. They sweep in the first round, but they were still disrespected nationally. You know, they were underdogs in the series. Can you believe that? So they know that they're trying to prove people wrong that, you know,
Wait till the Rangers face a real team. Wait till the Rangers aren't facing the Ovechkin and the Capitals.
Yeah, and listen, in the playoffs, it's a bend, don't break, you know, and you can't say Carolina, like Carolina's been playing really well, and that's what's tough. Like, these are two good teams going at it, you know, and it sucks that one of them has to lose, but at the end of the day, it's that team that just, you know, is able to lock it in a little bit more mentally and dialed it in. Like, you know, how often do you see a team that gets dominated in the first period like the Rangers did come back and find a way to win that game? You know, like, I think something underrated that happened in the game is Jimmy Vesey dropping the gloves with Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Tough name to say, but I think I nailed it, actually. And, you know, Vesey kind of wakes the group up a little bit when Carolina's dominating them. Like, it's just little things like that go into it. You know, it's really a special group. And, you know, I know that term gets thrown around a lot. And I've been around a lot of teams around the league this year, you know, in road locker rooms and whatnot. And you can just feel it in the locker room that, you know, it's one of the oldest cliches in hockey, but you want it for the guy next to you. And this team really has that feel.
Well, the Rangers have started the postseason 7-0. And the last time they did that, Johnny Lazarus was negative 2 years old.
Yeah, just like the Canes power play. But Keith, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Shout out to your producer, Rami. He's the man, and I've known him for a long time. So proud of him, and go Rangers, baby. Go Knicks, too.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for the time tonight. That was VSiN NHL analyst Johnny Lazarus covering your New York Rangers with me on The Fan. We're going to take a break right here.